I appreciate it very much too, Steve. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, my friend. What were the initial two or three bullet point takes that you had out of today?
Offense, pretty much. Yeah, there's a lot of other important things that he discussed, but it really centered on offensive coordinator and how he felt, how James Franklin thought now was the time to pursue Mike Yurcich. That I think that it just sounded like that their paths didn't necessarily cross the way they did this year. That they, you know, they've spoken in the past and they've, you know, kind of developed a relationship over the years when Yurcich was at Oklahoma State and then Ohio State. And last year, maybe they wanted, or maybe James Franklin wanted to pursue that. Mike Yurcich was at Texas, didn't work, and they had their opening this year. And I think James probably feels, it sounds like he feels a little bit more comfortable that this is the offense that he wants to run in introducing. And that's no slight to Kirk Schrock. I think going back, if you just look at the way he introduced Kirk Schrock and the way he spoke about their offense, that it felt like this was maybe more, kind of a melding, if you will, that was trying to combine two offenses and blend. And this seems to be more in line of what he wants to run with really, you know, his three bullet points were explosive plays, limiting turnovers and scoring. And you know, the turnovers were an issue last year. Explosive plays, I mean, they still led the Big Ten in pass plays of 10 yards more. That's not necessarily their definition of explosive, but, and you know, there's also situations that had to do with that. But I think he wants more of those big chunk plays, those like kind of game defining momentum plays. And then scoring with, you know, with Mike Yurcich, you know, I think half the games that he's been a coordinator in his career, his team has scored 40 points or more. So he's, you know, that's the offense he wants to play, and he wants in the Big Ten. And I think in college football across the country, you saw it. You know, you saw the two highest scoring offenses in the country play for the national championship. And I don't know that anybody thinks that that's a coincidence.
Yeah, in fact, I think going into the game, somebody asked me what it would take for Ohio State to win the game. I said, look, in today's game, in a game like that, you have to score at least 40. I mean, really, if you think about it realistically, the way it's played at that level, you got to score at least 40 in a game. And when I look at Mike Yurcich, the first thing I looked at was his red zone number and also the touchdown percentage number. The red zone number was 84% with Sam Ellinger in Texas last year, and the touchdown percentage was pretty high as well.
And that was an issue, definitely, for Penn State last year. I mean, it seemed like after every game we were asking, especially in the losing streak, what was going on in the red zone. And James Franklin always referred to the zones being squeezed and, you know, throwing lanes. You know, there's just less space. There's less time. There's less, space, time, and room to throw in the red zone. And I think that is an essential element of, of what he wants to do as well. And also, one of the things is also spreading the ball. Or he referenced several times spreading the ball to more players. I got the sense that, you know, at the end of the year, what they were doing with the quarterbacks is just not what, you know, that's not the offense he wanted to run. It was situational and it was needed at the time, but it's not the vision for his offense that he has. If you go back, you know, think of those offenses that we saw, especially, you know, under Ricky Ronnie too, but under Joe Moorhead, where, you know, guys might have a couple of catches a game, but they were huge. I mean, yeah. I always think about like the Irv Charles catch against
Minnesota,
that sort of thing. You know, basically, I think it was the only catch of the year. If he had, maybe he had one more. But you saw a multiple number of players, and this was such a quarterback. That second half of the year, it was so quarterback heavy. And then he just wants to take advantage. You get a guy like Jahan Dotson back, you want to use him, but then he's also got tight ends and multiple backs and things like that. So I think that was, you know, that definitely came out today as well.
Obviously, you mentioned the quarterbacks in this. And that, of course, goes to Sean Clifford first of all. It is still the guy that threw 23 touchdowns, 7 interceptions in 2019. Now, and the number of touchdowns to interceptions in the first 8 games was the kind of ratio you can absolutely live with. What do you think Markey needs to do to recapture that, where the mistake part is down and the production part is up?
It, It might just be necessarily the simple idea, and he referenced it last year, and that when he got into that stretch, when he got into that turnover stretch, it was him trying to be a hero. I don't know, sometimes, you know, it's called hero ball.
Sometimes you do try to do too much. And I see it all the time.
I go back to that, the very first offensive series of the season against Indiana. He was poised and polished and just led a really nice touchdown drive.
Yep.
And it kind of got away from him in situations after that, and he loses. We've been all through all this sort of thing, but he loses, you know, important players on his offense. He's leaning on having installed an offense, basically from his house at home in Cincinnati, and then his dorm, and throwing passes to guys at high school field when he really should be a regimented thing. All of that, I think, built to the point where it became, he felt an incumbency to do that. If he can limit that in himself and get get a full preseason, I'm going into that. If he can limit himself from doing that and not necessarily have to have the coaches do that for him and this, kind of take the ball out of his hand, he's got to be able to recognize when he's in that mode and be able to get out of that mode. I still think he's there. I still think that, like you mentioned, that 2019 quarterback who won 11 games and just did not turn the ball over to the rate that he did last year is there, but he needs to find his reins a little bit too.
Yeah. What were a couple of other, look, this is an era where players, there's freedom of movement. So you transfer in, transfer out. How do you feel that the last 4 weeks played out between early signing period, people coming back, people opting for the draft, only two, Freiermuth and Oway, and the transfers they got? How do you feel this 4 weeks played out for Penn State?
I think it sounds, it sounds like Franklin was pleased, at least roster-wise. The way it played out, a big one is getting John Dodson back. I think that was, was imperative.
Yep.
For an offense that, if you're going to transition, that's a really veteran, a veteran player that you're going to have in there. You want as many veterans as you could possibly have, and if they don't make a move at quarterback, you still have a 2-year starter there. Now you've got a 3-year starter at and receiver in Jahan Dodson, and you give all those guys the experience last year. So you're bringing back guys at least with some playing experience. That was really important. I think we mentioned this earlier in that the way they approached the transfer portal, they got older. By bringing in veteran players, that was important. And it just seems philosophically that James Franklin is not on board with the whole idea, the whole concept of college football free agency. And I would have, I would have a hard time saying coaches who have been doing it for as long as he has, at the level that he has, are comfortable with that. But that doesn't mean that they're going to sit back and just allow other programs to do it while they, kind of turn up their noses and say, this is not college football. They're going to be aggressive. James Franklin said today, we're going to be aggressive in pursuing players if they fit our program. And that included quarterback. If there's going to be a quarterback out there who they feel can help, can step in and, and more importantly, actually fit with the quarterback room, the offense, and the team, they're going to pursue it because that's how you win these days. I think one thing he probably got out of last year is that, hey, we conducted we really should be proud that we conducted a full football season, played all 9 of our games in 9 consecutive weeks, and we made it through a pandemic year. Hey, that's great. But I think he still comes back to, and yet we still, we won only 4 games.
Right.
And I think that really, that second half of it, that becomes the motivating factor now. He learned a lot of stuff about how to conduct a program under stress, but he still wants to win games. And so when you get, stress is, the portal and things like that are putting stress on rosters and personnel directors and things like that. So they're going to go into it. They absolutely are employing every measure they can.
See, what's interesting about it is that I think the perception would be that if you were a program trying to, like, I've just been hired as a coach, I need to get my roster better. So what happens is I go to the transfer portal to then try and close the gap of getting better as quickly as possible. And then you go to last year. I'm going back a year ago now. Justin Fields, Jalen Hurts, and Joe Burrow were three of the four starting quarterbacks in the college football playoff. They were all transfers.
Right.
So it's not, but they were all in, each one was in an exceptional circumstance. And so when you look at a locker room and you have a guy that's been a two-year starter in there, how tricky is that of, do I take a transfer? Because I've already got a guy that's been a two-year starter for me, and it's not exactly like the Cotton Bowl is not shabby.
That has to be exceptionally tricky because, just as you said, you've got an incumbent who has been there for 2 years, and really, a two-year starter is in college football, even 5 years ago at quarterback, is a de facto third-year starter.
Right.
But to build on the point you made earlier, a new coach is going to go to the transfer portal and get transfers to build his roster. Well, Franklin's in a position, Franklin's in a position now to get to the next level.
He's trying to enhance his roster.
Exactly. He's not trying to be competitive anymore. At least in the competitive, in the sense of, 500 seasons and going to bowl games and things like that. And kind of rebuilding. He's done the rebuilding. Now he's trying to be competitive with the teams that make the playoff, with the four teams that make the playoff, and those primary teams that make the playoff, like Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State. That's where he wants to go. And as you mentioned it perfectly, three quarterbacks were transfer players. If you get that fit, you make the move. If you get the offensive coordinator you feel is the right guy at the right time, you make the move.
Yep. And that's
he's coaching. Right. Yeah, he's coaching an NFL team in college basically now.
And he did. He got the offensive coordinator he felt that was the right fit at the right moment. Yeah. And now when it comes to the quarterback, LSU didn't have a quarterback. Oklahoma at that point did not have a quarterback, and we all know what the Ohio State quarterback situation was because the guy that probably would have been quarterbacking was quarterbacking LSU. So each one had openings. To me, it has to be exceptional. Penn State doesn't have the opening.
It has to be exceptional about that. And if they find somebody, that's, on the other side, the player, the quarterback who's going to transfer in, what is their motivation for transferring in? Are they transferring in to be a starter? Are they transferring in because they just don't see an opportunity where they are now? And with the bonus year of eligibility, and, maybe they're comfortable with looking 2 years down the road. Well, he's got to take – this is not just bringing in a quarterback. It's not that simple. They have to vet individually each option who may or may not be on the board. As does he fit the offense? Does he fit our does he fit our quarterback room? Does he fit our offense? Does he fit our team? And does he fit our future? Whether the future is next season or 3 years.
And they may find, and Mike Yursich may look over at James and say, Sean Clifford and Will Levis fit exactly how I want to play. So I mean that's a conversation.
You may be looking at that for next season, and then Mike Yursich is going to start contacting younger quarterbacks, high school quarterbacks, whoever they may be. Say, this is the kind of quarterback I'm looking for in our future. So.
How do you feel about the quote the game today? Because let's face it, the game is. Obviously, the recruiting part's critical, development's critical, but the transfer part is also critical. The freedom of movement is there. Name, image, and likeness is going to come into play. I mean, you and I have been around this a long time, Mark. So how do you feel about how that, quote, that game is today?
It's really interesting because we had a season of it with nobody in the stands. So there was no feeling of college football around the stadium on game day.
That's right.
There's just a definite feel. So I think if you, as you get, that removed that element of it for me. So it was, when we were going to the stadium, we were watching football games.
Mm-hmm.
That, very well could have been watching, just hypothetically, it could have been a semi-pro team that we were watching. I'm saying that it is, but I'm saying that could have been any kind of football were watching.
The perception of it, yeah.
Right, exactly. Because we just were not in... a college environment with flags waving and tailgates going on and all of that, the stuff that makes college football feel like college football. I think each one of these little elements, these incremental elements that we add, the fact that every single day I see the transfer portal update and then, you know, NIL legislation being tabled and the argument over whether it should be tabled, all of this is important. All of this is really important for the future of the game, because you absolutely have to consider the future of the game. But we're making it feel, in my opinion, we're making it feel less like college football and maybe more like a commodity of football. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's where the game has to go. I don't know, but I just saw it. I felt it last year. So, you know, walking there, this doesn't feel like college football, singularly because of the pandemic and the fact that nobody's there. Is that going to change next year? Is everything going to continuing moving down that road? Maybe that's good too. I'm not sure what to say of it yet, but all of that stuff, all of that kind of change in the feel of it still feels, it makes me a little wistful in some ways.
Yeah. Mark, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for your time. It's always great talking with you. I really appreciate it.
Hey, appreciate it so much.
Yeah, same
Thanks,
here.
Steve. Anytime.